Welcome to the Hill to Hill podcast, where we address one issue at a time. Today, we'll be talking about climate change.
Severe storms are the new norm, according to an alarming government report out today on climate change.
Findings from the United Nations offer a grim assessment of how off track the world is in combating climate change.
Students around the world are skipping school today and taking to the streets to protest global warming.
So Obama's talking about all of this with the global warming and that, and a lot of it's a hoax. It's a hoax. I mean, it's a money-making industry, okay?
Ah, climate change. The threat of mass extinction turned into a buzzword. Should I be scared? Should I accept my fate and continue on with life as usual? Was environmental science the wrong major? So many questions, but it seems like there aren't enough answers. Today, we're going to give an update on the current state of climate change at a national and global level. As we wrap up this decade, it is important for us to understand what the next decade will hold. In the U.S., according to a 2018 survey by the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication, 71% of Americans think global warming is happening, 44% of Americans believe that they personally have already experienced some effects of global warming, but only 5% of Americans say humans can and will successfully reduce global warming. It seems like the public has lost hope, but is that rightfully so?
Let's take a step back and briefly define what climate change is. Climate change refers to a rise in global temperatures and a shift in global or regional climate patterns. Scientists have directly linked climate change to human activity and rapid industrialization. Right now, we are experiencing global temperature rise, warming oceans, shrinking ice sheets, sea level rise, extreme weather events, and ocean acidification. Human activity has put the fate of our entire ecosystem in the balance. The magnitude of climate change moving forward is primarily dependent on the amount of greenhouse gases emitted globally. If there are no significant cuts to greenhouse gas emissions, global temperatures will continue to rise. This will affect every part of society, ranging from food security and land management to economic, political, social, and ethical ramifications.
So, if the risks are insurmountable, can we even solve this problem? Young climate activist Greta Thunberg spoke at the United Nations climate talks in Madrid this December. She says that the business and political leaders are misleading the public by holding negotiations that are not leading to real climate action against this climate emergency. Similarly, at the same conference, former Vice President Al Gore said it is criminally negligent for leaders to continue to ignore climate science. It seems like the smokescreen of sustainability is finally disappearing, and people are becoming more and more concerned about U.S. leadership and their ability to solve this problem.
But it may not be too late to reduce or avoid the worst effects of climate change. To address climate change will require a two-tier approach. First involves mitigating or reducing the emission of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Second demands adaption, where we are looking to adapt to and live with the climate change that we can no longer avoid. And because it is such a complex and global problem, creating a solution requires both local and global responses. Additionally, climate change requires that we actively remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and, on a social level, fight disinformation and political polarization.
We know the risks of climate change. We have concerns about progress, and we also know that we may still be able to solve at least part of the problem. So what's being done? Despite decades of scientific warnings and multiple resolutions by the government to address the issue, greenhouse gases are still on the rise, and we're experiencing accelerated climate change impacts. Although the United States emits more greenhouse gases than any other country in the globe, we haven't had new major environmental regulations in almost 30 years. The cause of our lack of action can be summed up to 1. Complexity, 2. Jurisdiction and accountability, 3. Collective action and trust, and 4. Imagination. We're struggling to fully grasp the complexity of the science of our effect on the environment. Because of that complexity, we're struggling to hold the right people accountable, which parties exploit to continue acting in their own best interests. The gray area of jurisdiction and accountability then impedes on our ability to trust and conduct collective action. Finally, because of this poor cooperation, we lack the imagination to grapple with the urgency of the problem and the understanding to create effective and feasible solutions. In the World Meteorological Organization statement on the state of the global climate in 2018, they highlighted a continued significant rise in global warming. They found that climate change has caused remarkable increases in environmental hazards, negative environmental impacts in ocean and land ecosystems, poor heat, air quality and health, food insecurity, and displacement. An estimated 821 million people are undernourished, partly due to drought. 35 million plus people have been affected by floods. Ocean acidification is ongoing. Peatland ecosystems are threatened. There have been over 1,600 deaths associated with heat waves and forest fires. There's a decrease in global ocean oxygen levels. Over 2 million people have been displaced by weather and climate-related disasters. And out of 883,000 internal displacements, 32% are due to floods and 29% are due to droughts. This is all in 2018. If you want to know the current state of climate change, there it is. Instead, we can act now and fight for change. The public is the one with the most power to change our situation, and we can listen to the science and demand that our leaders stop protecting private interests and start thinking about our future.
Now let's hear some expert opinions. Here to talk with us about the current state of climate change is United Nations Foundation Communications Officer Chandler Green, who specializes in climate communication for the NGO. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
For the first question, we want to know what progress is being made for global cooperation.
So I think progress on global climate action is tricky to define, and I think it depends on how you're looking at it, but from my perspective, there are some good signs, and of course, there are some bad signs. So I think the good thing is we're 4 years into the Paris Agreement, which is the global climate plan that the world signed on to in 2015. And that is huge in and of itself, just the fact that we got 195 countries, all of them, to sign on a global agreement that says that climate change is an issue that we must tackle, and get them to agree to actually do that, because there were years and years of no agreement or an ineffective agreement. So that's a huge accomplishment. But when we look at where we're actually at on the Paris Agreement, it's definitely not enough.
What are some things we can expect to see in terms of national or global action in the next year or so?
Yeah, so I think the biggest moment for global action next year is going to be COP26, which is basically the next global meeting on the Paris Agreement. And this is a really big one because it's a big deadline. This is when countries need to come forward with new plans. So basically, they have already submitted their first round of plans back in 2015 when they agreed, and now it's time for their next level of plans. And obviously, we know from the science and from seeing all of these devastating impacts that we need much more ambitious action. In fact, we need them to cut emissions 45% by 2030 and then actually go carbon neutral by 2050. So next year we need, again, to get on track, we need countries, especially the big ones, to come forward and submit plans that actually reflect those targets.
Great. So my next question is, what can individuals do at this time to make a difference?
Three things that individuals can do, and I think we really need all three to get on track. Mm-hmm. That's using your vote, your voice, and your action. So with your vote, if you're old enough, it's about staying informed and, using the power of our democracy and voting for people who reflect your values and want to take more ambitious climate action. And of course, as we just discussed, next year is a very good year for that. With your voice, that's all about making your views known, whether it's sharing it online or with others. We have to really get people on the ground to start talking about climate more. I don't think people are going to rise to the occasion if they don't see how it affects them in their everyday life and it's not a daily conversation. So we need to be doing that. We need to be talking to our elected officials about this. We need to be getting this more in our local media, whether that's writing letters to the editor or writing op-eds. There's so much you can do with your voice. And finally, action, of course, and that includes and collective action. So whether that's making changes in your lifestyle to be more climate friendly, like, reducing meat consumption or carpooling or, taking more public transportation, or collective actions, like joining groups or movements who are pushing for climate action. What gives me hope, I would say, what has been an absolute game changer this past year has been the youth climate movement. I think a year ago, if we were talking about this, if I said that, you'd be like, what is that? But it's so widely known. It's gone from one girl, Greta, and then a few in Europe, to just something that has gone global. And I think it's just so powerful to see young people, not like a famous celebrity or a politician or, someone that we would expect, but it's just everyday young people who are bringing this issue to the forefront and really making people think about it and actually, moving our elected officials to start making changes. And not only for that, but I think it just shows that anyone can make a difference. I think that's ultimately the message of Greta, is you don't have to be someone powerful or someone famous. You just have to get out there and be passionate.
Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me. We really appreciate your expert perspective.
So there's your quick update. Before you start feeling down, remember that there are still things we can do. Don't feel forced to become vegan or live a zero-water lifestyle in a tiny house. Instead, leverage your power as an advocate.
Remember, folks, hold yourself, your community, and your representative officials accountable, and let's stay positive and hope for the best. Thanks for listening. This has been the Hill to Hill podcast, addressing one issue at a time.